Triple M had to sell the farm to pay Kennedy Malloy's lunch bill. If you're selling your home, check out Upside Realty. You don't pay commission. Upside.com.au.
Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy on Triple M.
Thank you and welcome to the big second episode of Kennedy Malloy with me, Mick Malloy, and the one Jane Kennedy.
Hello,
how are you, Jane?
I'm really well. Pumping today.
Well, it's a big show, let me tell you. We're going to take a wade through sexism in the office place. Surely there's a little bit of room for that current era.
I've got stories.
Euthanasia, Jane, big story. Should it be compulsory? We'll discuss.
We'll discuss.
We will indeed. We'll put the spring carnival up on blocks and talk about your little red dress.
My red dress. Alert for all my girlfriends listening. They'll know what it means.
Oh, yes. One girl in particular. We'll be talking about classic songs that should be admitted to the archives.
Absolutely.
Danes, we'll be calling upon you for one.
I got one. Ready to go.
Awesome.
Good for you. And we go inside Bill Oddie's head. I don't know why.
I didn't even know he was still with us.
I've read it out. All that and a lot more on today's Kennedy Malloy. How are you, Jane?
I've had a really good day so far, Mickey.
The highlight?
I tell you what, I went for a walk this morning. I haven't been walking, you know, further than the front gate for a while. Yep. I decided to take the dog for a walk. I walked
Did
around
you?
The tan and I got involved.
You walked the tan?
I walked the
You're
tan.
The first time I've heard of you walking the tan. You're supposed to run it.
You are not, really, eh?
Come on.
Oh, you don't know what it's like.
Or at least walk very fast like Kerry Saxby. You know the old waddle?
I know the waddle. I don't have the Saxby walk. I got the waddle, really. The Kennedy waddle.
Got the waddle down.
With my big dog. But I'll tell you what the exciting thing happened.
Your dog's a horse, by the way.
Small pony.
That could be small. Someone could be saddling that thing up in the spring carnival.
I nearly did it myself as I was halfway around. But a very exciting thing occurred for me.
What?
Oh, I was involved in tan rage.
Tan
I don't know if it's a thing. I'm just making it a thing today.
Crikey. I'm all ears.
There was a tour bus turning into one of the cafe areas, and it was stopping a woman in her car from also turning in.
Right.
She must have been going to meet her friends for coffee or something.
Sure.
Anyway, she started beeping at the bus, and it was letting people off. Yeah. And there was right near her somewhere for her to turn off, and she was tooting her horn. The cars were waiting behind her, and I just looked at her and I said, "What's your problem?"
Did you say that out loud?
Yeah, I said it to her. I thought, what's the problem?
Now you're involved.
She wound her window down.
Oh, yeah.
She was in one of those old Nana Corollas, which had a handle on it.
Good Lord.
And she said, "Are you talking to me?" I said, "Calm down. Let the tourists get off the bus. What's your hurry?"
Can I say, this is the most polite incident of road rage I've ever seen.
Really?
What's the problem?
What's your problem? Calm down. Anyway, she didn't like that.
Right.
She said, "I've got to get in there." And I said, "Well, just hold your horses." And then she was very huffy about that. So then I went on my way. I felt satisfied that I'd really pissed off a cranky old bat. That always puts a spring in my step,
would be the highlight of anyone's day. I've had a shocker.
Why?
This is, and put yourself in my shoes.
Right.
So I'm in bed this morning.
Yeah.
And I get woken up by the garbos outside my bedroom window, removing the bins at the most ungodly of hours.
Oh, what time?
11:30.
Michael. Wow, you're loving this new lifestyle.
Ooh, I was irate.
You're happy getting up this time.
Any feedback, guys? For the first show?
Look, we've had
always
some,
hard your first show, getting out
hard.
Of the blocks. You're learning on the job.
I know. Well, we actually have had some feedback, but it's not about us.
Right.
We got great feedback about Dave, didn't
Dangerous
we?
Dangerous Dave. We had two callers at the end of yesterday's show. So tell us what you liked about the show. One caller rang up and said, "Oh, Dave was great."
Yeah.
The next one said, "I really like Panama."
All right,
Van Halen.
Exactly.
Again.
We got a big show coming up, and we're going to really get it stuck into front page story on the Herald Sun today.
Are we addressing this next?
We are. It's sexism in the workplace.
All right, pipe
I've got
down.
A story.
Settle down, Toots.
I beg your pardon, Mickey. I pick up the Herald Sun today,
yep.
And I see war on office sexism.
About time.
It is about time.
Can I say something? It's not a good time to be a bloke right now.
Well,
there's a lot of stories.
You've had your fair share of a good time.
That's true.
Just saying.
But geez.
Can I just say, no, they've put out an exclusive, this is an exclusive actually, to the Herald Sun. Although Susie O'Brien's got the story, there you go. So she's right behind it. But they did with the Federal Sex Discrimination Commissioner, Kate Jenkins. She's been involved in challenging Australia's bosses to crack down on cruel, crude and thoughtless acts. So you know what they're talking
in
about.
The office.
In the office, in the workplace. And it's just, you know, it's not okay for some forms of behaviour. And for some reason, the Herald Sun has felt compelled to give us a double lift out on what actually is sexist behaviour.
It's a problem. And you know what? In retrospect, it's always interesting looking back in hindsight.
Mm.
But probably the mistake was allowing women into the workplace.
So I'm going to read out the six common types of everyday sexism, Michael.
There go the phones.
Okay.
Fire away.
All right. So they've categorised them into six different categories.
Should I be writing these down?
Yes, you should be. The first one's insults masquerading as jokes. Okay? So it's a use of sexist remarks as jokes and insulting terms based on gender.
Fair call.
Okay, got that?
I got that touched.
So they've got actions that the bosses can demonstrate to their really stupid workplace males.
What does that mean? A demonstrate behaviour?
Yes.
Which
well, they're giving you tips on how to avoid this. So they say, do not validate humour that is explicitly or implicitly sexist or offensive by laughing, staying silent or making excuses.
Well, there goes the act. Get out of the business. This is officially my last show.
Well, it could very well be. I might need a female partner. Well, all right, the second one. Well, good. It's devaluing women's views or voices. All right, this is what it looks like when you're devaluing it. In everyday interactions, women experience men interrupting or talking
over them.
Good
point, Jane. What do you think? What do you think, Dave? Is that what would you be? Let's get Dave's opinion.
Okay. I'll go on to number three. You have to be writing this down, by the way.
I'm writing this down.
And if you can't do that, I'll type it out for you.
You win this round, Kennedy. You would speak, in my defence, I'm a model male around the office, don't you think?
It's not the way I first think of you.
Well, this what we do.
I will say, no, you have not lovely manners, thanks to Wendy, your mum. She has taught you to have lovely manners.
Credit.
She should take the credit.
All right, but keep batting on. But okay.
Role stereotyping, for example. Assumptions are made about suitability for roles and tasks on the basis of gender. So, for example, Tara Moss, she wrote a book, her first book, a non-fiction book called Fictional Woman. And it starts because she had to take a lie detector test because nobody believed she could write a book because she was a model.
Well, I would get her to take a lie detector test and prove she was an international fashion model myself. That's what I'd be doing.
Okay.
Personally.
I'm going to move on. Okay, here's a big one.
Here we go.
Okay.
Pay attention, gentlemen.
I'm a victim of this all the time. Yes. Preoccupation with physical appearance. Comments about body shape, size, physical characteristics or dress over skill and competence are frequent. It's amplified for women with a public profile or in the media.
Can I say, I bet you this article is written by Fatty Boomba. I just got that feeling.
I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on to...
We get all this. Aren't we past all this?
No,
isn't
we're not,
this accepted behaviour and norms in our workplace
you
now?
You would think, but there's a generation of generally men. I mean, let's say it's based on men's behaviour that have not read the room.
No. I beg your pardon, Jane Kennedy. The article clearly says on the front, the report finds everyday sexism mainly affects women, but men can also suffer. You try working a mile in my shoes.
In your Crocs.
Do you know what? Yeah. It's the incessant ogling.
Mick, it's
if
not
I
ogling.
I can't walk from here to the vending machine without being mentally undressed 100 times.
That's panic.
And that takes a while.
That's panic. It is panic. I'll tell you, some people might have had experiences like this in the workplace. I know that I have had a couple.
Well,
myself.
133353. Let's actually get some calls.
Yes, if you've had, and these can be things like people. Some of the anonymous females who were interviewed in this report said, as the female at the lunch meeting, I watched the men wait for me to take the plastic wrap off the sandwiches.
But that shows we've come a long way because in the old days it was ladies bring a plate. So haven't we? Isn't that a win?
I think we'll go to.
Isn't that a win for women?
We might hear from some callers because I've got a couple of stories up my sleeve too. And you tell me.
I've got one.
You tell me whether you think that they were justified or not.
All right, give us a call. Nothing too serious. Nothing you'd go to court over. But we want to hear if you've been on the receiving end of some tawdry treatment in the office space.
We're talking war on office sexism. Yeah. Bosses are being urged to wipe out really ridiculous statements in the workplace. And,
sure.
It's happened to me. It was quite a few years ago, I have to say, and it's not with any of the gentlemen that I currently work with.
Was it at Triple M?
It was at Eon FM,
at
I think,
Eon
years
FM,
ago, yes.
Back in the day. Well, it was mandatory, I thought, to be sexist in the office
apparently
in those
was.
Days.
I didn't give it a second thought till years later, but I was producing for a guy, and one of my monthly jobs was to go down to his locker where you get the mail put in. He couldn't even fag doing that himself.
Right.
To retrieve, upon his request, his monthly issue of Penthouse Black Edition.
Oh.
Which I had to hand deliver to him in the studio. Then I had to hear him critique the edition and the pictures and his disappointment at some of the images.
He sounds like a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Is he still with the network?
I don't believe so. The same guy also used to request.
Right. So let me go straight. So 133353, by the way, if you'd like to get involved.
If any kind of these things.
You had to go down to his locker.
Yes, and get his, he knew what, it was Thursday or whatever
defense,
the date was.
It was a Black Label edition, so it's classy.
See, I didn't know that Black Label is worse than the normal one. No, this was the one with no articles.
Right.
Okay. So the other thing he made me do one day, he goes, Jane, come in here. And he gave me a roll of film. And these are the days where you had to go down and get your film developed.
Not down to Rabbit. Yes.
It was pretty much, yeah.
And wait for them to develop your film.
He goes, go down, and alarm bells should have gone off when he said, oh, by the way, they're not under my name. They're under the name of Mr. Black.
Oh, jeez.
So I had to go in and...
With tongs.
But I didn't know what they were going to be. Oh, right.
Did you look at them?
Well, listen, so I've got the guy's giving me standing there and is about to hand over the envelope, and he gives me the most reprehensible look of all time.
Yeah.
Hands me the envelope as if I'm not going to look at the photos.
Sure.
And of course, they
he looks at you with judgment.
He looks at me as judgy. I'm Mrs. Black, you know, and as far as he's concerned. And of course, I'm walking back to the station and I'm looking at them, and it is Mr. Black in various. Liaisons.
Mr. Black needs a few black dots, does he?
Yes, and so did many of the staff members of the station.
Staff members?
Female staff members of the station, yes.
Well, you know where all the bodies are buried.
I do, so that's what I mean. Things like that. Has anything happened
to
you?
That ship has sailed.
That's outrageous. And you know why I think it's outrageous behaviour? Because now when I think about it, if my daughter had to do something like that and came home and told me, I go, no, that's not okay.
It's not okay.
So this is what this war is all about.
We've come a long way. Mm. Dave, you're here all day, every day.
Yep.
Does that ring true to you as part of the Triple M over in these days?
A certain member of staff, let's call him a member of the on-air staff that works here. I won't say names because I don't want to put him in it. But last week was a 29. It was a warm day last Wednesday, wasn't it? Really hot, out of the blue. And this said person has not been working for a bit, but had to come to work on that said day because it was hot, and he knew that.
Less
clothes at work.
Right.
We won't say who it is.
Oh, that means
I'm going with Billy Brown.
I'm not saying who it is.
Is it when the strappy dresses come out and the?
That's exactly.
And
right.
The jug
waved off.
Really? We're getting one.
Can I tell you a good one? Can I tell you a good one? And this is one. This is a charming bit of sexism.
I believe that's an oxymoron.
Well, hear my story. And this occurred. I was involved in this at a bowling club.
Yes.
And you know, the old girls and the old boys, they cohabitate happily under the one roof. And it's a fantastic system that works beautifully. And anyway, I was with a group of the old boys one day, and we were sitting there having a chat, and they swear like troopers. Like, effing this and effing that, and effing this and effing that. Anyway, a couple of the guys, the old ducks came over, and then I've gone, and effing this, and got a clip on the ear. Not in front of the ladies, son. Not in front of the ladies.
That's fantastic.
Now, that's a bit of old school.
I do like that. A bit of manners never goes astray, Mick. So, actually, you know what? I think it might be time for you to go and get me a coffee. A latte.
Yes, ma'am.
Skinny milk.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
Helping small business grow is my passion. Hi, I'm Mark Boris, and I want to share that passion with you with my podcast, The Mentor. If you're into business, listen now on Podcast One as I get the stories from those just starting out and those on the verge of a major turning point. Join me for The Mentor, and I might just help your business grow as well. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Here we go, guys. We are smack bang heading into another spring carnival. Now, this is the greatest sporting state in the world.
Totally.
And this, I think, could be as good as any single event we have is the spring
and
carnival.
And I don't think it's ever been bigger. I think it gets bigger and bigger, more and more people involved. It's a stylist dream, can I tell you? That's what I'm going to say to my daughter. Get a job as a stylist.
And get involved because you can go cocoa bananas in this carnival. Yep. It all lets me know we're at the right end of the year.
Oh, sorry, there are horses involved.
How many times have you been to the track, Joan?
I've been and I've not seen a horse at all.
Well, we're going again. We're going to be guests of Emirates on Cup Day. And we might be out there on Derby Day as well at this stage. I love it. It's a fantastic time in Melbourne.
And everyone looks great. Mm. The guys look hot because they're all in a suit. The chicks
that's
look
sexist.
Fantastic.
That's sexist.
Listen, I've said the chicks look hot too.
All right. Can I say the chicks look hot?
Yes, you can. You're
the
allowed.
Chicks
to...
look hot.
Don't
races.
Get nervous now.
Well, I am. I don't know how to behave anymore. But I do. Everyone makes an effort. Everyone happily cohabitates under the one roof. It doesn't matter if you're from the top end of town or you're
from
out where Dave lives.
Yep.
Everyone's welcome
it's all
under
happy
the
and hoppers.
Big roof, and no one cares. We all suspend hostilities, and it's bloody great, and I love it. There is, on occasion, though, an issue that blows up, and there's one right now. Is this a fashion faux pas, Jane?
This is a fashion faux pas.
What happened? Talk me through it. I don't get it.
Well, on Friday is a preview to the Caulfield Cup. Mm. Channel 7's Jane Bunn.
Yes,
and
Jane Bunn. Delightful Jane Bunn, who
Jane.
I love.
I love Jane Bunn, too, and the beautiful Lavinia Nixon from Channel 9 News. Who I know too. I've known Lavinia for years.
I've often said this. I've seen her naked.
What?
I beg your pardon?
Well,
what do you mean?
We were both five at the time. We were running through sprinklers.
I'm going to need to go back in your murky
past. That's true. We're
all
kids.
All right. Well, we better get Lavinia on the line at one stage about that.
Maybe don't.
She's probably still in therapy over it. Anyway, Lavinia and Jane, stylist worst nightmare.
What?
Wearing the same frock.
What do you mean?
The exact same dress, doing at the exact same time doing a weather report. They were wearing, I think it was an Anthea Crawford dress. It was black with flowers on it. And what can you do? They had no time to change because they're at the track and they couldn't do anything about it, but they were good sports about
it. What's the issue? We didn't know.
What
are
you saying?
Same dress.
What are you saying?
How can that ruin your day?
Not an issue. You do not want to turn up anywhere wearing the same dress as another woman.
What's the worst thing that could happen?
That they look better in it than you do.
Oh, jeez.
Are you serious?
Is this how it goes?
Yes, this is how it goes.
Well, whose fault is it? Is there someone to blame?
The stylists. No, it's no one's fault.
Who would have known?
No one would have known. But I would have thought there's so many dresses around at the moment. But it's a beautiful dress.
How much thought?
How much thought goes into a dress?
Into a dress.
Are you mad? God, help us. You grew up with sisters.
I see the Spring Carnival? I call it the annual letting out of the trouser pants festival. That's all I've done. It's the same suit.
How's that gym going? You've only got 2 weeks to go back to the gym.
Don't you worry. I'll get into my pants. Don't you worry.
Mickey, there is dress etiquette. And it goes beyond just not wearing the same dress because sometimes you have a dress that somebody wants to borrow.
Now, I want to talk about this because I know you had a dress that you were particularly fond of.
I did.
Is it your little red dress?
It's called the red dress.
It's actually called
the Pashing dress.
Oh.
And it's because whenever it was worn by me, I usually used to pash someone, I have to say. Not being too up myself. It wasn't me. It was the dress.
You've already pointed out. The dress doing all
the heavy lifting.
The dress
had the magic, okay?
Right.
Because other girlfriends of mine had worn it and they go, hey, I wore the red dress and you're right. There was some
action. So you can't wear two dresses the same to the same venue, but it's okay to share your dress
with a friend. Yeah, but if someone wears it
this
a different
a nightmare.
Time from you.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's more. So one day this one chick says, can I borrow your red dress? And I didn't know her very well at the time, and I was being generous. I said, all right, sure, but I need it for Saturday night because I'm going out to a party.
And I want to get some action.
I want to get some action. So she goes, yep, sure. Anyway, she wears it, and I wait Friday. I haven't heard from her, so I ring. I go, where's my dress?
A tense wait?
It is a tense wait.
I'm
getting antsy. I said, where's my red dress? She said, oh, it's at the dry cleaners. I'm sorry. I'll get it back to you tomorrow. Right. I said, well, please do
in
the morning.
Yes, you always get your dress dry cleaned. You've got to dry clean it before you get back?
Absolutely. That's the rule. So Saturday morning, I call her. She goes, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. the dry cleaner's closed. I can't give your dress to you. I'm so sorry. So I was extremely pissed off.
No so, action for you.
No. Yeah. So I put on a blue frock, which I'm never going to get anything.
You may as well put on a Hessian sack.
I remember it was at the Precinct Hotel in Richmond where the party was. It was.
You can't get lucky at the Precinct Hotel. Get out of the pool.
I was feeling terrible. Was it
You're
20,
done.
It was
You're
the 21st, I remember. I walk in.
Oh, God, Lord.
Mick, wait. I walk in. And there she is in my red dress.
No!
Yes. She's wearing the red dress.
No. What?
Yeah.
That is terrible.
That is not
and
on,
what did you
sister.
Say? Did you approach her? Did she?
I gave her the Kennedy stare.
Ooh,
was she? Don't want to get that.
Was someone pashing her? I need to know.
Quite possibly.
Quite possibly. All right. There it is.
Well, do you want to give us a ring in a minute about your fashion faux pas?
Maybe do a fashion faux pas. I've got one.
Oh, okay.
Have you?
A big fashion faux pas I'll mention to you
okay,
after the
great.
Break. But give
great.
Us a call.
Yeah. 133353. You can get in touch with Twitter, Instagram and Facebook as well. Kennedy Malloy. Got a tweet through, guys, from David Towers.
Yep.
Hey, Jane, can my wife borrow that red dress this weekend? I need action.
It might have an expiry date, David. I don't know if it's still working. I haven't pulled it out
myself. It's at the dry cleaners.
Yeah.
Is where we're at. Hey, we're talking Spring Carnival. Yes. The greatest carnival, the racing carnival in the world. A mate of mine, Gideon Haig, tells us.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because he does the teams for his local cricket club, mm-hmm. so he fills it. He reckons during the Spring Carnival, it's almost impossible to field a team. It's amazing how people, many people ring up on Saturday morning going, on Derby Day, going, yeah, I'm feeling really cooked.
Oh, that's funny.
As he sees them again out later in a suit. We love the Spring Carnival. You know, one of the best places I ever saw the Melbourne Cup. So, and if you're not in Melbourne, sometimes being out of Melbourne is a great way to see it. One of the best I ever went to was in Jabiru, which is a mining town in Kakadu. And they've got one members club that has a bar. And they'd make such an effort.
Yep.
The ladies really do dress up beautifully.
Yeah.
The miners all put on.
And you have sweeps and things like that. I love all
they
that.
They put
too.
On a suit. And the best part is it's the only license in Jabiru. And miners know if they misbehave, they get cut off. And they can't ever get back in. So it's full of miners, but they're on the best of the behaviour. Trust me. You can literally walk up and kick a miner in the balls. And he'll stand there and go, thank you. Thank you very much. Wonderful. Very wonderful.
Didn't touch the sides.
We're talking fashion faux pas. We'll get to the call. I want to talk about one. A friend of mine had to go to Papua New Guinea with a girlfriend of his who'd had a baby to a New Guinean partner. And she wanted to go and show it to the family.
Yeah.
And she asked him to escort her to do this. And he's a good friend. Richie. He won't mind me telling the story. And so he said, I'll escort you there because it can be quite dangerous. It's off the beaten track.
I think Papua New Guinea has a bit of a reputation
for
being a bit dangerous.
I've seen the brochures. Yep. It's not all good.
Not on my
list. So he escorted her and they go up into the highlands and they're making their way up a track. And as they get to the village, just before they get to the village, they get hijacked, robbed.
Oh, God.
And a guy with a gun says, take off all your clothes to Richie and takes everything, all of his clothes.
Oh,
anyway, off he goes. They're traumatised.
Yeah.
They go up and meet the family and the whole family the next day have got a big function on to meet the young child and her and everything. And as he's being introduced, he looks around and there's a bloke standing there wearing all his clothes.
Wow.
You're kidding.
He just pretended that he hadn't seen it. And when they're leaving town, they said, which way are you going? He said, right.
Yeah,
and he went left.
Of course. He wanted to keep his, literally keep his shirt on. We do have a caller here, Lucy from Geelong. Hey, Lucy.
Hi. I've had quite a few fashion faux pas in my time. I know, it's not good. Probably two of the best. One was I was turning 18, obviously ready to go to the clubs.
Yes.
And, you know, big night out. I was single, pretty excited. And I thought the most appropriate thing to wear on my night out was a long denim skirt.
That's pretty fashionable, right. I would have thought.
And look, at the time, I thought I looked good. Got to the club and realised I was pretty much the only person wearing anything longer than, you know, just below my belt line. So I did not pick up.
So you look like a daggy granny, really, in your long
skirt. So you look like one of the pilgrims down there in Geelong.
I did. It was not good. And I got home, was so sad, I didn't pick up. And then later on, thought to myself, I wasn't showing any skin whatsoever. Super not appropriate.
So what have we learned from this, Lucy?
Oh, I don't know. Wear smaller clothes, apparently.
I like your style, Lucy. And Geelong is one of the fashion capitals of the world. Do you go to the Geelong capital?
Oh, I haven't. Oh, maybe I should wear a denim skirt to that too.
Well, it better be a short one.
That's right. You could win Fashions on the Field with a short denim skirt in Geelong.
Exactly. Thanks for that call, Lucy. And I think we've got Jake from Geelong. Is he on the line?
Oh, hello. Geelong's a hot spot.
Yeah,
how are we going?
Good.
Good,
what's up, Jake?
What's going on?
First of all, Mickey, love your work, mate.
Thank you.
Me and the boys go to the Cox Plate every year.
Yep.
A few years ago, my suit got mixed up with dry cleaners. Opened it on the day and threw it on. I looked like the Penguin from Batman.
Oh, you went formal.
Well, there you go.
Jake, have you been one of those guys that get together as a group and all dress as something, you know, the same, like you all dress up as bananas or hot dogs or something like that?
Not quite to that extent, but I'm sure that could be the go this year.
Not really.
You said that like it was a male thing. Have you ever seen a hen's night out on the town?
Well, they just have a tiara with, you know.
I know what you're saying. Guys, you know, do that. What about the guys who, was it in the Philippines or was somewhere and they went in their Speedos and got locked up?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
They went to the MotoGP. That's right.
And they were in Malaysia. Yeah. I thought it would be funny to go wearing their Speedos.
Yeah.
Oh, it was an international incident.
Right. Big cack, that one.
Mind you, I'm for locking up anyone in Speedos, even down here. Say Karam.
Says he who's posed on a billboard in his undies. So.
Thank you. And you talk about sexism in this business.
Well, there you
see
go.
What I had to put up with.
See what you have to put up with. There's a story in the paper today about Bill Oddie.
Okay.
Of course, from The Goodies. Remember? Right. Is that a show you used to watch?
Do you remember? No, half of our audience might.
Yep.
Some won't. They were famous for riding the triple bike.
Yep.
You know,
The Goodies.
Yes, they're on the ABC.
I used to love it. The Goodies and Benny Hill used to go back to back, and it was one of the few shows I remember watching with my father, and the two of us used to sit there and slap our thighs and laugh like idiots.
Hilarious. Oh, I'm with you on Benny Hill. I wasn't a Goodies fan, but I don't think a lot of girls were. I think that's really was a boys'
Monkey
show.
Monkey Magic, that was on after The Goodies.
Yeah, another
Monkey
boys' show.
Magic, there you go. All right.
I was more your Gilligan's Island and I Dream a Genie girl myself.
I Dream a Genie. Yep, well, agree to disagree.
Aspirational.
Sure.
Bill Oddie has a condition in which he hears Scottish bagpipes and brass bands playing in his head. This is true.
Oh,
the veteran comedian is 76. He's got a form of tinnitus. Is that how you say it? It's caused him to hear music playing each day and he can't get it out of his head.
Okay. This.
So
is,
can you imagine what that would be like?
Well, if you want to get a feel, this is the bagpipes. Oh. Turn it up, Dange. Imagine that.
See, there's only very few songs that can handle a bagpipe.
That's going on. That's terrible.
I could hear it in an Akadaka song.
Yes.
That's all right.
That's okay.
And in Farnsey, any John Farnham songs.
Oh.
I can have a bagpipe, but that's about it for me.
If you had to have an instrument stuck in your head, is there anything worse than the bagpipe?
A recorder.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know why that was invented.
Banjo. I think the banjo would be up there, wouldn't it?
You'd get sick of that real quick.
Panpipes?
Panpipes suck.
A lot of offended panpipes.
I'm sorry to all the panpipe players.
Throwing their instrument down in disgust and turning over.
They're a bit woozy. There's voices, though, that I do hear that I just don't think I want in my head.
Like
Matthias Cormann. Isn't he one of our ministers?
It does sound a bit.
He's the Belgian minister.
Third Reich-y.
Is that
too much? Can I say that?
Just a bit harsh.
What about, does this happen to you? You know, so you get a tune in your head and you cannot get
it
out of your
earworm.
Head and it dogs you. Is that what it's called?
Earworms.
Oh, really? Oh, there's a term for it.
The other day I had this in my head and I could not stop hearing it.
I wish that I knew all I know now.
Isn't an ad? Yes. kind of cute.
It is kind of catchy.
It's kind of cute for about 12 bars.
Yeah.
Oh.
But by the 13th friggin' hour. When I was young. Okay, James, don't do it. I hope someone out there gets that now stuck in your head. Whatever you do, try not to think about it. And
that
it
song
happen.
Really needs a chorus.
I'd rather be Bill Oddie right now. Hey, we'll come back afterwards. We're going to talk about euthanasia. We're going to talk about some dangerous Frankston apartments.
Yes.
We're going to talk about songs. You've got one too, Dave.
I have one.
Some
ready to
special
go.
Songs.
In the Australian Archives. Make
awesome.
Stop,
Kennedy Malloy, Triple M.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my podcast One series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Wish that I knew that. What is wrong with you?
Come on, you are everybody,
all together now.
I guarantee you that is going to end up. It just doesn't go. You're up at 5 in the morning, you're pacing around the house, you're shuffling like Cliffy Young.
Tell you what, that was a good gig. You only just had to write one line, sing it over and over and over. It's the Apia song, is that what it
is? It's the Apia song from the Apia.
Well, we do love Apia.
Good on Apia, but that song, and they knew what they were doing.
They
embedded that into our heads. Hey, a big second hour, we've got a lot to get through.
We have, something's caught your eye, and it's not a usual subject that I would think that we would bring up on FM radio.
It's time to get into it, and we flagged this earlier. We said we're going to talk about euthanasia. Now, Hoffman, our parliament here in Victoria, they're known for wasting a fair bit of time.
Yes.
And any government can get distracted and charge you $122 million to have a plebiscite over something that they should be actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our government has got down to it and actually had a crack at biting off a big one, which is euthanasia, which is the right to determine the timing of your own death if you so choose. Is that a fair way to...
I think that's a great way to sum it up, Mickey.
And it's a very... it's a polarising subject, and there's religions involved, and then there's people who aren't religious, and then there's other issues.
Sensitive,
and,
isn't it?
It's highly emotional, and it affects so many people, and it had to be handled the right way, and that's why they're up all night for days, really, trying to sort it out.
To the lower house who have passed it, and I think it now goes to the Senate, and whatever side you're on, I think it's that shows our parliament working.
Yep.
And the way it was devised. Did you have any opinions on euthanasia?
I do. I mean, clearly I just think everybody should have the right to do whatever they want to do.
Yes.
And the only thing that has irked me, but this is how it is and we can't change it, is that we have politicians who are making decisions for us as citizens, but that's how our system works, that's how our government's set up, and that's what has to happen. But I say if the time has come for you to go, you can do it.
Okay, fair call.
Yeah, fair call. What about you, Mick? What are your opinions?
Well, I got firm feelings on this. I think you should be allowed to determine the timing of your own death.
Mm-hmm.
But not the manner.
Come on.
What do you mean?
Well, that way we can really
weed out the men for the boys. What are you talking about?
No, this here's a little bit of drug and go to sleep. Well, we've got to see if you're really serious about it. Like, how badly do you want it?
Mm-hmm. Where are you leaving?
All right, Mr. Johnson, we've booked you in for next Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Yeah, shark attack, I'm afraid. Hey? Probably want to get there early. We start chumming the waters at 9.
Did this come
it's
up
It's
going
to be a real frenzy. All right, Mrs. Jenkins, come with us. We're just going to pop you into this wood chipper. Do you know what I mean? Because then you'll know.
I sort of know what you mean. I think so.
How badly do you want it?
All right, I'm guessing that the way that it happens now with just a little bit of a...
Come on.
Pills,
it's hardly crowd pleasing. What about a reality show of some description? It's time to go.
No, I don't think so.
Mr. Turner, you've had a good innings.
Mick, it sounds like you've given this a lot of thought, strangely enough.
I think about death a fair bit. I don't know why, but it just comes up every so often. Do you ever read the obituaries?
I try to avoid it because I know too many parents and people I know now are shrugging off.
They're coming off. We're entering that zone, aren't we?
Yeah, we're in that zone.
I read the obituaries and I'm fascinated by that. You know, they crystallise your life into one single phrase.
Oh, yes.
One big sentence at the top. He was a philanthropist who was chairman of a company and he worked so the thing, survived by 5 kids.
Yes, they're all very noble. They do lots of things.
They're all very noble. Yes. Have you ever wondered what you'd like yours to be?
So that's a thing. You've really got to think of something before you cark it, don't you?
Something like, for me, guys wanted to be him, girls wanted to do him. One of the greats.
For God's sakes.
Okay, whatever it is. He was a hottie who went off like a firecracker in the sack.
I'm going to keep that one because I reckon that's what it should be. I've got one.
What have you got for you?
Mine would be, finally, her liver is at rest. There you go.
All right. I'd ask for one for you, Dange, but it's getting closer.
Come on.
Euthanasia. What about? Is there anyone you'd like to see take advantage? Oh,
don't ask me that. I've got too many.
Of the new euthanasia law?
Oh, yeah.
Is there anyone? Don't do it if you don't want to.
Really?
Oh, well, give us a call. 1-3-5-3.
I'll let me think about it.
Anyone you'd
let
like
me think
to
about
euthanize.
It during this next. We're going to a song.
All right, so we're asking for calls.
If you had one token and you could euthanize anyone.
Anyone in the world. Oh, yeah, now I've got a few. Right. Don't worry about that.
All right, we'll
some of them
in
this building.
1-3-3-5-3, Kennedy Malloy on Triple M.
We're talking about euthanasia,
yes, we are.
And all matters related to it.
We were asking our callers if they had anybody in mind who they could suggest for voluntary.
Who could ring up and say, you should consider these taking advantage of the new laws available in Victoria.
Everyone would be happy about it.
Euthanise yourself.
Adam?
Yes.
How are you going? Adam, you're from Currumburra and you've got someone you'd like to suggest.
Oh, it has to be Donald Trump, doesn't it?
So, now, we put you to air, but there was about 30.
Yes. Yeah,
possible Donald Trump.
And he was on my list too, I have to say, Adam, because I still can't quite believe he's President of the United States. Every time I see him speak.
Every time you see a front page where you talk about sexism, every time you see Harvey Weinstein's story, every time you see anything about parody in the industry, just remember,
bullying.
It's okay to behave like that because you can be... made the President of the United States.
I wanted to say, guys, too, thanks very much for the show. I'm loving it. And Mick, I've been a big fan for years. But, yeah, after all the stuff you were saying in the morning about Trumpy and stuff, I thought, no, we're not hearing about him much at the moment. But, yeah, well, they're, get him gone.
Good on you, Adam.
Good on you, mate.
Have a good night, matey. We've got Costa from Mill Park. Costa, who have you got on board?
Hey, Jane, Mickey. Dangerous, loving the show.
Good on you.
I've got to go with Bernard Tomic. He's an absolute flog.
I think that's a good description.
He's dying on court at the moment, so it will save us the heartache and make room for some young blood.
All right.
Yep.
There we go. We'll put it to the Victorian.
Yeah. The exactly.
We'll do that. I've got one for you. What about Kenny G?
Kenny G.
Just wrong with
the
Kenny
saxophone
G?
Clarinet was he? Clarinet.
Yeah, clarinet. It's just
I've interviewed
real.
Kenny G.
I beg your pardon.
And you know what? I'm with you. Do you know why?
what happened to
he
Kenny
was,
G?
He got really shitty with me.
Really?
Yes, he got really cranky. Sorry for swearing there.
Crikey.
Yeah, no, he was really... I was interviewing him for one of the shows I was talking about, Nightlife. I talked about yesterday, right?
Kenny G got angry with
him. He got angry on because we did the interview. And when we finished the interview, the sound guy grabbed me and he said, Jane, I didn't have the record button on.
Oh.
So we have to do it again. And Kenny spat the dummy and blamed me. So I've had it in for him for years.
Well,
good call.
I wish the people recording his second album hadn't have pushed record when they did that. I'd also like to suggest to whoever wrote this.
Hang on. Nick, he can't say that.
Make it
throwing on me.
I wish I knew.
The annual list of 10 recordings to be inducted into the National Film and Sound Archive Hall of Fame in 2017 has been announced today.
This is a big gong.
These are only 10 annually that get certified
into what is it? The archives.
Yes.
The music. The great
I don't know.
Music
some
archives.
Cupboard that they're shoving everything in.
Cupboard. KTL.
No, it's my.
Record,
I know. They're
Paddy
very
Stacker.
Good people there at the National Sound Music Archive. These are some of the songs. It's a very old one. You know, it's our Don Bradman.
Oh, yeah, but it deserves a place.
1930, that was released.
Simpler time.
The play school theme, there's a bear in there.
Really?
Yep. Oh, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Is there? Is that iconic?
Yeah, I think so.
It is.
We grew
actually,
up with it.
You know, that's a bit of a push, I reckon, getting that one in. I'm not thrilled with that, actually. I love this one, though. Sheesh. This one I love. Love is in the Air. John Paul Young. Also
absolutely.
Written by George Young.
Yeah.
Do you know
Vander
what?
And Young
his better song was Yesterday.
I love that song.
That was the one. If you're going to go down the John
that
Paul Young.
That is awesome. No, you're right. Don't Change, In Excess, and Not Pretty Enough, Casey Chambers.
Oh, this is fantastic news. Yeah. Congratulations, one and all. As always, it gets controversial.
It does.
There are some glaring omissions.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
songs that should be admitted.
What would you have put in?
This one.
I thought we might have had a reprieve.
There's got to be a place for that.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Only
well,
this year.
All right.
Only this year.
Hey, you know what? There's certain genres that just get omitted all the time. I think surely there's room in the archives for this. Written
in
the back of the year.
In what country? In what place?
Come on, Kevin Bloody Wilson.
Wow.
That's as good as it gets.
I'm sorry not to revere. You can't bet a honky-tonk piano, can you?
And what about this? Is there a... No!
No. Turn it off, please. As much as we love APR.
Okay, well, what about you? Because people need to know this. You've done soundtracks for films. This is a strong suit for you. You saw every episode of Countdown.
I've been in bands.
Bands, woman.
But I can't go past my favourite. I love music from the 70s and 80s.
Sure.
But there's one iconic song that some people might remember by a guy called William Shakespeare. It's called My Little Angel.
Oh,
remember this one? Because she's my
little angel. What's this?
I just fluffed your pillows and this is what you come up with.
This has got, it makes me feel up and happy. He was kind of out there, guy. Oh, met him once.
Didn't he sleep in his car?
Towards the end.
I think he's the only guy I know who was involved in a car accident and the victim of a home invasion at exactly the same time.
Do you know, I met him and his wife one day and they were both wearing T-shirts they bought in Bali and they both said, I'm with stupid, but the fingers were pointing the... towards each other, but R.I.P. William Shakespeare.
Oh,
yes,
all right.
R.I.P. William.
133353. By the way, have you got a song that you think belongs into the archives?
That should be in the archives. One that you think has gone missing in action, has been overlooked, has fallen through the cracks.
Already
is there anything on tweets?
Yeah. Yep. Joshua Kelly says, "She's the one by the Cockroaches."
Ah, now you know the Cockroaches, who then went on to become the Wiggles. Let's go.
He might be on his own there. I'm not sure.
No, I did dance.
Too soon.
I did that at the Blue Light Disco.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
You have an interesting past. Are you ever going to release a book?
No.
Look at one here. Danielle has said, what about the brilliant Marty Roan?
Oh.
Mean pair of jeans.
Absolutely.
Oh, don't have that one.
I'll sing it for you. She wore a mean pair of jeans.
I got
tell me what you mean.
I've got denim and lace. So from you.
Denim or lace. Oh, yeah. Actually, Marty Roan is—he's possibly listening now. He's around the traps all the time. I see him. He's a great musician and piano player.
Any request for Ray Burgess?
Oh yeah. What was Ray Burgess again? Something about "Touch Me" or something like that.
Not familiar with his work.
Cheetah? Anything from Cheetah?
Cheetah. Another Josh is gone. What about the theme song from Prisoner? He used to give me roses. Into the sound archives.
Fair enough, too.
Yeah, classic.
I like it. We've got the ball rolling. Rob from St Albans, what do you think should be?
Oh, guys, I've got the best driving song ever.
What is it?
It's Here Come the Hot Stepper in his Emoji.
Oh, yeah?
Jeez, you know, more
Here
emoji,
Come the Hot Stepper.
Does that go with a horn? Something like that, Rob.
Rob.
Yeah.
What planet are you coming from? I don't know.
Who wrote this?
Inizamozi
or Inikamozi?
This one.
That's it.
Oh, yes, I do know this one.
Come on, tell me that.
We're about to get thrown off here. Show two, they played Here Come the Hot Zepper.
Good on you, Rob. Okay, Dave from Yarraville, you've got a ripper. Tell everybody what song you think should be in the archive.
Yeah, Shut Up Your Face by Joe Dolce.
Oh, wow. What's the matter, you?
Hey.
Got it. There you go.
Hey.
Beautiful tune, Joe.
He made $1 billion on that. He's now in the Bahamas sitting back on a hammock.
It wasn't a big follow-up to that one, was it?
Where do you go after Shut Up Your Face?
Thanks, Dave. Good to hear from you. Pete from Brunswick. You're going way back.
What are you doing, Pete?
Absolutely love the show, guys, by the way, but you can't beat Tiptoes with a Tulip by Tiny Tim.
Oh,
really?
I think they need to be Australian, don't they?
Yeah,
is he a Tiny Tim? I don't think we can play it. I think, Pete, I love your input, but we're going to rule you out in a technicality there. Thanks for getting on board. Vicky from Womfaggy. What's happening, Vicky?
Hello.
How are you, Vic?
Who do you want?
Having a cup of tea.
Good on you, love.
Cup of tea, no crumpet.
Sounds like having a whiskey
crumpet
with a voice.
Down here.
is it wine time yet, Vicky? I'm a bit edgy.
Bourbon o'clock.
Oh,
that's
good on you, Vicky.
Driving down the street yet.
Love
it's always
it.
Bourbon o'clock in Womfaggy, from what I hear.
And it's marijuana cookies are free down here. On
all right, we can't be seen to be condoning
that. We're not condoning those. What's your song, Vicky?
Give us a song,
Jimmy Barnes. Away.
Oh, yeah, I love this one.
That sounds like you singing, Vicky.
Yeah, your voice sounds
like Barnes.
Have some more cookies, Vicky. Thanks for your cookies.
Go and have a cuppa and a Vicky. Not bad choice. No, I'll give her that, Vicky.
I like them.
Let's go with Narelle from Hatfield. Narelle, what are you suggesting for the archives?
Mickey, how are you going?
Good, babe.
I'm Uncanny X-Men, 50 years.
That's a nice one.
Wow, beautiful big ballad.
It is.
With favourite frontman Brian Mannix.
Always brings back bad memories for me ever since I got locked up on Cup Eve in Frankston to Uncanny X-Men at the Pier Hotel. It's a long story. I don't like telling it.
There's so many Frankston memories for me.
But it happened. Well, stand by. We might be talking Frankston in a little bit. Gary, you boot this baby home from Parkdale. What's happening?
The Proclaimers. I'm on my way.
Matey. Gary. They've got to walk a long way from Scotland to Australia, mate. We're looking at Aussie songs, buddy.
You missed a meeting, Gary. Not to worry, though. Pump it up. Give him a bit.
We like to hear a bit of Proclaimers. All right.
No archives for you, but well done, Gary. Thank you very much. Hey, guys, can I bring to your attention a story that concerns me?
I've got a concerned look on.
Well, it involves my old alma mater, Frankston. The Ambassador Apartments in Frankston have been dubbed Australia's most dangerous address. Owners of apartments in the notorious Ambassador Complex say it's become the most dangerous address in the country. Stuart Allen, who owns four of the 110 units at 325 Nepean Highway, has told the leader, the Frankston leader, Goodrag. They blame an unusual condition placed on the ex-motel titles by the Victorian Administrative and Civil Tribunal, which prohibits owners from living in the apartments. So they have to rent them out as low-cost housing to other people. And they're saying this is why it's no good.
They're saying it's not boutique complex up to scale.
No, that's right. And Mr. Allen has said the recent closure of St Kilda's Gatwick Hotel, Frankston's now been pumped up the order. The Ambassador's now number one. Yeah, I don't know if I'm proud or not.
I don't think that's a selling point. I don't think it's a good thing.
Can you put that on the awning at the front?
No.
Now, officially.
Hey, you know what will happen? The block might take over. That might sort it out.
Hard hats on.
Hard hats on. Look out.
Do a head count when you leave. It's pretty dangerous, I understand. Now, I remember it as the Ambassador Hotel.
I remember it
as the Ambassador Hotel because the Ambassador Hotel was just down the road from the Frankston International Hotel.
Ooh, la,
and that's what Frankston needed, was an international hotel where people fly in directly from overseas and go, where do you want to go? Should we go Melbourne, Sydney? No, let's go to the Frankston International.
Yeah. But Mickey, in its heyday, because Graham Kennedy used to live in Frankston, in its heyday, honestly, we don't want to offend anyone in Frankston. We've got someone
sitting here from Frankston. Jake, who works on the show. Hello, Jake. How are you?
Good, thank you.
You have visual on these apartments. You still go back? Do you still travel on the Frankston line after every show and down you go?
It is an absolute barren wasteland.
Really? What is Frankston or the apartment?
The apartments, both.
What is it? Even like, so by Frankston standards, even Frankston goes.
You'd rather live in the Pines than these apartments.
Don't come on.
You've gone mad.
Nah, it is. The people that hang out at the Frankston train station at night time are the same people that go down to Nepean Highway to these apartments.
To these apartments. And why? What happens inside
the
apartments?
What kind of unruly things happen down there?
Have you been there?
I've driven past very quickly many times.
But you've done a drive-by.
It's all blocked off. There's broken glass everywhere. There's fences that are falling apart. It looks like it was built.
And this is after the renovation?
Well, the Frankston councillor, Chris Bollam, said the best outcome would be for the state government to compulsorily acquire the site and demolish it. See, I mean, I'm suggesting, honestly, the block. There you go.
Take it on. Get Scotty Cam
seaside
down there.
Views. Well, surely. Well, can you see the sea from there?
Put in some treated pine.
I think you can. If you build it high enough, I think you can.
God, they'll get through some laws, through some local laws, get through VCAT and get it through.
We'll say beachfront, beautiful. What could go wrong? Frankston, the Ambassador Apartments. I can't. It's sad for me.
But it's
go down and buy one. So I can buy one, but I can't live in it.
Yes, that's true. That's the problem with it at the moment. I think
I could buy it and you could live in it.
Really?
Yes.
It's got a bit of a medieval feel about it still. It's got a bit of
now we can turn it into a theatre restaurant.
Looks like a castle.
It looks like a castle with the stained glass windows and
thinking.
That effect.
Now
actually,
it's a tourist attraction for the Frankston area. Let's get down. We'll do an OB from the Ambassador Apartments.
There you go. We've turned it around.
Imagine if you were buying it out of the brochure. Well, these Ambassador Apartments sounds good. Yeah.
The brochure was from 1983.
Pencil in for one. All right, thank you, our man on the ground, Jake.
Thanks for keeping us in touch.
We are done and dusted for another day, people.
We've got through day two.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Hump day. Our first hump day, Wednesday show, Dave O'Neill.
Oh,
I love Dave O'Neill.
So
one
do
of
I.
my favourite Melburnians is going to swing by the studio and
Dave wrote a book that's got one of the best titles I love and I still use it on my kids. Everything Tastes Better Crumbed.
And Dave would know. That book has been well researched. He's a cracker. He's Melbourne's own. He'll be in here. And we might get him to play a song too, maybe from our archives.
Pick one of his songs.
I'm liking how that's going. That went very well today, the archives.
Heaps of
big
requests.
Big response. Anything still coming through?
So this was for the archives for the great Australian songs that need to be tucked away forever.
That's right, sure. Yes, in the archives.
Danielle suggested Horses by Darryl Braithwaite, Jane.
Yes, except it wasn't written by Darryl. It was written by Ricky Lee Jones.
Gee,
I keep trying to tell people.
You're a stickler
for the rules,
really?
Oh, wow. God, no one knows that.
Who was Ricky Lee Jones?
Oh, you're kidding me. Don't.
Chicken the Beret?
I cannot even bear you.
Chucky's
Chicken the Beret?
Chicken the Beret.
Do not speak. Do not speak about
my Lucy
hero.
Says,
we're having our first on-air blue. This is so good.
Lucy says, Chocolate Starfish, You're So Vain. Again, not a mistake.
No, come on.
Something from Chocolate Starfish, so that would be okay.
Chocolate Starfish, is that, I believe, in Milko or Miracles?
Jane.
I know, I always got the, oh, I'm sorry, I'm
you've
seeing
been so
too much.
Good for so long and you've just hit a wall.
Must be the cup of tea I'm drinking, Mick.
The cup of tea, which is courtesy of, do you know how most people prepare for a show? They read the papers and they're collating all the information. Do you know what we did? We got a tech down to our office to assemble our beer fridge.
Oh, come on. We just plug it in the wall, don't we?
Staged it with three of us under a table.
It was a very intense thing that happened. And don't worry.
Well done, Gino. Thanks for coming down.
Gino.
It was nearly a...
Let me just say, it doesn't only take beer.
But I tell you what.
Glug, glug, glug.
As we speak, it's currently empty again.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes,
and thanks
stuff.
For your feedback. Love it.
Good on you. Thanks, Dave.
See you tomorrow. Kennedy Malloy, Triple M.
For Upside Realty, upside.com.au.